John 13, starting at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you do these things, blessed are you if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So far, reading of God's word. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how special and unique is Jesus, our Savior. He is the Word made flesh, the eternal Son of God, who has come down from heaven. How he shows the love of God in the very fact that he is in this world. He was sent by the Father, so that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. He came to save the world. He came to save you and me, everyone who puts their faith in him. Jesus was always very conscious of his task and the mission he had been given by God the Father. He had to wait till the proper time before he would make the final sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins of everyone who believes in him. We often read in the Gospel of John that his hour had not yet come. The time for him to be delivered over to be killed by the religious leaders of the day. Those leaders were opposed to him already early on in his ministry, but his heavenly Father protected him so that he could continue to preach and teach and do signs and wonders. Through his work, many believed in him and grew in their understanding of the kingdom of God. In John 13, we have now come to the end of Jesus' life on earth, to the final days. In these early days of the week when he would die, Jesus predicted his death once again. He said in chapter 12, verse 23, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He will be glorified through his death and resurrection, because then he will fulfill the purpose for which he had come. Then everyone will see that he truly was the Messiah who was promised. God will be glorified, and his love will be shown to everyone. In our text, we find ourselves on the Thursday evening, just before the Passover feast. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room, about to celebrate the Passover, when Jesus would institute the Lord's Supper. In the chapters 13 to 16, we can read the words which Jesus spoke to his disciples, the instruction he gave them to strengthen and encourage them for the events which would come. Now, before he speaks those words, and before they take part of the meal, Jesus shows to the disciples the depth of his love for them through a most humble act of service. I proclaim to you God's word under the following theme: Jesus Christ shows his love by washing the disciples' feet. We will see first the purpose of this washing, second the necessity of this washing, and third the example of this washing. Jesus and his disciples were together to celebrate the Passover. Before we read about Jesus washing his disciples' feet, our text mentions two other things which at first might seem unrelated to what will happen. In verse 2, we read that the devil had already put it into Judas Iscariot's heart to betray Jesus. There was one among the disciples who did not believe in Jesus. He wanted to betray him and have Jesus killed for financial gain. This betrayal of Judas happens at the prompting of the devil himself. We read later in the chapter that as soon as Judas takes the bread from Jesus, Satan enters him, and Judas leaves the table to go out into the night. But Judas is still present at the table now before the meal with the other disciples. And he is also among those who receive the foot washing. He is among those who receives this sign of the love of the Lord Jesus for his disciples. Even the plots and schemes of the evil one cannot prevent the love of Christ being shown to the disciples. What a contrast there is between the sacrificial love of Christ and the self-serving schemer of the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. And Jesus' act of humble service and love is not only contrasted with the evil and selfishness of sinful man, but also very deliberately with the majesty of his divine nature. Verse 3 sets the stage for verse 4. But there could be no greater contrast between the two. In verse 3, we read that Jesus was conscious of the fact that the Father had given all things into his hands. He had come from God and was going back to God. He knows that he is on his way back to his Father. When he came into this world, he had had to give up his heavenly glory and splendor and majesty. And this act that Jesus is about to do shortly before he returns to his Father shows his willingness to truly humble himself and be a servant for his disciples. As Paul writes in Philippians 2, Jesus Christ emptied himself and took the form of a servant. At this same moment that Jesus is very self-aware of his divinity, power, and majesty, he humbles himself and becomes the servant of his disciples in a way that could not possibly be misunderstood. Jesus and his disciples had come together for a meal. Normally in those days, when you gather at someone's house for a meal, the servant of the house would come and wash your feet. People wore sandals, and when you walked on the dusty roads, your feet would get dirty. Washing someone's feet was something that no one wanted to do. It was a task for the lowest of servants. But now we see Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, who has all power and authority, taking on the task of the lowest servant for His disciples. Everyone had already taken their seat at the meal. Perhaps they were wondering who would wash their feet. None of the disciples were eager to do this. Now Jesus gets up and shows the depth of His love for His disciples by washing their feet. Our text describes what He does in detail. He laid aside His outer garments to be able to move freely for the task. He took a towel, tied it around His waist, and poured water into a basin. Jesus washes the feet of His disciples. One by one, He goes to them all and washes their feet in the water. When He is done washing their feet, He wipes their feet dry with the towel. You can just feel the silence and the embarrassment among the disciples while Jesus is washing their feet. It was unheard of that someone who was greater would wash the feet of someone who was lesser. That was never done. In this feet washing, Jesus shows that He has come to serve. He serves His servants and gives to them the humblest of services. He is willing to do anything for them, even wash their feet, the lowliest of tasks. As we read in verse 1, Jesus loves His own. And now He shows to them the full extent of His love. The foot washing, in a sense, is a prelude to the much greater gift of His love and giving His life for them on the very next day. For that is the ultimate way in which one shows love to another. Love is giving yourself for the benefit of the other. Love is willing to sacrifice oneself for the well-being of the neighbor. Love is never self-seeking, but it always reaches out and gives to the other. Just before Jesus Christ institutes the Lord's Supper, He washes the feet of His disciples and shows to them His willingness to give of Himself in the most humble and selfless way. During the institution of the Lord's Supper, which is about to happen, He will speak clearly about the fact that He will give up His body and blood for them. His body will be broken and His blood will be shed so that the new covenant in His blood can be established. It is this blood that will be shed which will enable the disciples and all those who believe in Him to receive the forgiveness of all of their sins. When the Lord Jesus got to Simon Peter, then Peter said to Jesus in verse 6, "Lord, do You wash my feet?" Peter could not contain his surprise and amazement at seeing his Lord, whom he had confessed was the Christ of God, washing his feet, doing the task of the menial servant. How could his Lord be washing feet? Peter does not understand the meaning of what Jesus is doing or why he is doing it. And so Jesus says to him in verse 7, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." It is only after the ultimate expression of Christ's love for His disciples on the cross, in His suffering and death, that Peter will begin to understand what Jesus is doing for him now. At the moment, Jesus' action only seems to be strange and bewildering to him. But later, when he understands the significance of Christ's death and how this was the greatest gift of himself that led to the salvation of many, only then will he be able to see this foot washing in the proper light as another example of the way of love through service to others. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples to show that he was willing to do anything for them. He did this to show the great love that he had for them and for all of God's people. He did this to foreshadow the greatness of the gift he was about to accomplish for them on the cross the very next evening. Brothers and sisters, see the mercy and compassion and love of God for us sinners. Although we did not deserve such sacrificial love, yet Jesus Christ was willing to humble himself as a servant for us, who were even his enemies and lost in our sins. He showed his love and mercy for us, and did it by being willing to give up the most precious gift of his own blood and life. Jesus humbled himself in order that we might receive God's blessings and be equipped to walk in his ways. The Lord Jesus not only washed the feet of his disciples, but he also made clear why this feet washing was necessary for them to receive. And so we come to the second point. Peter did not understand why Jesus was washing his feet. And so he told Jesus in verse 8, "You shall never wash my feet." Peter felt very uncomfortable with his Lord and teacher washing his feet. But then Jesus responded to him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Peter said that he never wanted Jesus to wash his feet. He thought it was just the wrong way of doing things. It was not what he had imagined the role of Jesus to be. Peter is the impulsive disciple, right away blurts out what he thinks. He reacts strongly to Jesus' action and does not understand its meaning. For by using the word never, Peter is rejecting the selfless love and service of the Lord for good. And therefore, Jesus warns him against such a reaction. It is clear from Jesus' response to Peter that they are no longer talking about simple feet washing as such. Jesus does not mean to say to Peter that if he now does not actually wash Peter's feet, that then Peter cannot be saved. No, what Jesus means is that if Peter never wants to accept the sacrificial and selfless love and service of the Lord Jesus on his behalf, then he cannot have any share in the kingdom of heaven. If Peter does not let himself be washed by Jesus, then he cannot receive the inheritance of life everlasting. We know from Luke 22 that at the time of the Last Supper, the disciples had been arguing with each other about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus responded to them by explaining that it is the one who serves rather than the one who leads who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It is the Lord Jesus who will assign to them a kingdom, and he will give them their place in the kingdom of heaven. He will give this to them only in the way of self-service, self-sacrifice, and unselfish love towards them, a love which would involve giving up his life for them. Jesus tells Peter that if he does not wash Peter, then Peter can have no share in Jesus and will not be able to be part of his body. The cleansing which Jesus provides through his love is necessary for salvation. Without his work on our behalf, we are nothing. Beloved in the Lord, do you daily experience your need for Jesus Christ and the perfect cleansing from our sins which he provides? Let us examine our hearts to see whether we are truly sorrowful for our sins because they offend God so deeply. Let us grieve over our transgressions and confess our sins sincerely and humbly and with contriteness of heart. Do you trust completely in Jesus Christ to forgive all of your sins? Do you daily thank him for his salvation, for his washing, for the complete forgiveness which he gives to those who believe in him? Do you acknowledge and confess him to be the only Savior? There is no way in which we can save ourselves or provide in our own strength the obedience and satisfaction God requires from us. We have sinned and fallen far short of the perfect obedience he requires. Without Jesus Christ, we are nothing and can in no way be accepted again into God's favor. But when we believe in Christ, then we share in him and in all of his benefits, forgiveness, fellowship with God, ongoing sanctification and holiness, and life everlasting. Peter responds to Jesus' words very enthusiastically, and he says in verse 9, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Peter goes from one extreme to the next. First, he does not want Jesus to wash anything, but now he wants him to wash even his hands and head as well. He wants to be totally clean so that he might have his share in Jesus. Jesus responds by saying that the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. He declares that Peter is clean because Peter and the other disciples, except for Judas, have already undergone a lengthy process of spiritual cleansing and teaching by the Lord Jesus. The word of Jesus has worked as a bath of cleansing among the disciples, so that they are now clean. As Jesus also tells them in John 15, verse 3, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you." The washing of the feet of the disciples by the Lord is a sign of his sacrificial love towards them. After this washing has been completed, Jesus instructs his disciples and us to follow his example and show this selfless love to one another. And so we come to the third point. Jesus tells his disciples in the verses 14 and 15, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." Our Savior Jesus Christ emptied himself and humbled himself and took on the form of a servant in order to save us and give himself up for us. Even though he is the Son of God himself, the second person of the triune God, the one who had close communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity, yet he loved us so much that he was willing to become a man and serve us by giving us the gift of his life in his sacrifice on the cross. He loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us. Brothers and sisters, how do we respond to such a great love? To such selfless and sacrificial love? We can respond only by living in such a way ourselves as well, in the community, in the place that God has given us. This is what Jesus also instructs us to do. He has washed the feet of the disciples so that they would have an example of selfless service to follow in their lives. This is the style of the Christian way of life. The Christian life must be characterized by love and service to others. If Christ loved us so much, and if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was willing to humble himself and be a servant among his disciples, then who are we to do otherwise? We are members of his body and have been rescued from sin and slavery to sin so that we might live lives pleasing to God, lives in keeping with a spirit of love and humility that is fitting for God's people. In Peter's first letter, the apostle worked out this when he addresses the elders, those who are shepherds of God's flock, in chapter 5 of this letter, 1 Peter 5. The office bearers are not to domineer over those in their charge, but rather they are to be examples to the flock. The task of being an office bearer is not to be domineering, but to be of service to the people of God, to guide them in the Lord's ways, and show them by your own godly and humble walk of life what it means to serve the Lord. Peter then continues in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." As God's people who have been redeemed by grace, we must be characterized by a willingness to serve others in all humility and submissiveness. We must always look out for the best interests of the other, not force our own selfish ideas or agenda on others, but always seek the Lord's will in our life and encourage others to live godly and upright lives. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 21, that we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the Christian attitude among one another, an attitude of humility and submission, because we know ourselves to belong to Jesus Christ, who showed the same attitude of service and selfless love. The Lord Jesus provides the great example that we must follow. Paul then applies this directly to the relationship between husbands and wives. Wives are to submit to their husbands because God has made the husband the head of the wife. Her role is that of helping her husband and following his lead in all things. Her role is that of service through submission to her husband and respecting and honoring him. And the husband must also show Christian submission and humility towards his wife out of reverence for Christ, for he is the head of his wife. And this means that he must love her and be willing to give himself up for her in sacrificial love and selflessness. His wife's interests must be his interests, his wife's concerns, his concerns. He must be willing to do everything for his wife and take responsibility for the entire household. guiding and serving her in every way. He must be willing, as it were, to wash her feet and give up his life for her. In the same way, parents and children must live together for the well-being of each other. Parents, love your children. Guide them in the Lord's ways. Nurture them in the way of love and service, so that they will blossom and flourish under your care, so that they would also want to imitate Jesus Christ because of the example that you have also set in your life when you followed your Lord. And boys and girls, love and honor your parents. Submit to their good instruction. Listen to them and help out around the house without grumbling or complaining. Remember how Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and so also set an example for you to follow. Also in the workplace, employers and employees are to work together in humble service, looking out for the best interests of the other at all times. Employers, treat your workers fairly and graciously, and remember that you both have the same Lord and Master in heaven. Employees, obey your employers and work diligently for them, as though you were working directly for Jesus Christ himself. This way of diligent service and humility must become a way of life for those who understand and appreciate the great gifts which Jesus has given us in his sacrifice and death on the cross. He set the example so that we might do as he has done. The Apostle Paul exhorted the Philippian church in Philippians 2, "Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And then Paul writes, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He was the one who did not consider his equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he willingly emptied himself and humbled himself even to death. As a result, God the Father highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." And so Jesus also assures us in verse 17 of our text, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." We may be assured that we will receive the blessing of the Lord when we live in a way that pleases him and shows true humility and service towards one another. God will bless all those who live according to his will and cause them to grow in faith and godliness until the day when we may reach perfection through the power of the Spirit. Amen. Let us now go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great love which your Son, Jesus Christ, showed to his disciples, and so also to us in washing the feet of the disciples. He came to this world because he was willing to serve and to completely give of himself to his people. How great is his love toward us, and how amazing is his willingness to serve and help those who are in need, like we ourselves are. For we acknowledge our own sinfulness and how necessary the sacrificial love of your Son is for our very salvation. What an amazing gift you have given to us in him. We pray that we might grow in our faith, that we might appreciate more and more the depth of your love towards us in giving us your beloved Son. Help us to show in our lives the kind of service he showed. For he washed the disciples' feet as an example for us to follow. We pray that we may be able to show this kind of selfless love to one another in the communion of saints and in our families and marriages and the other relationships in which you have placed us. Lord, fill us abundantly with your Holy Spirit that we might so grow in holiness to the praise of your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.